if you would, please. Good afternoon. This is the Josephine County Board of County Commissioners. It's Tuesday, March 13, 2018, 2 p.m. Legal counsel update in the BCC conference room. Commissioner President, Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. Item number one is codification project update. And on board, which one of you fine counselors is ready to?
Kara, I'm here for about an hour and 45.
1:45?
Wondering about the executive session with the RFP. I haven't read it. It's on my calendar to read it tomorrow. Is there something?
It's not going to take long.
Okay.
What we're doing today is just presenting and officially giving it to you guys. And we're going to bring it back next week for next process.
I just didn't want him sitting here if we weren't going to get to that in 2 hours. So.
I appreciate that.
No, we were very intentional because we knew we didn't have time to read it. We'll go small today.
Hopefully on my schedule tomorrow.
Okay.
In a couple hours. You ready?
Yep.
I don't think there's much to say since last week, but an update, is there? We are still...
Nothing at all.
From my end. It's in the contractors.
No, it's with us right now. It's back with us.
What are we doing now?
We are looking to answer...
There's a handful of questions.
A big amount of questions. Mm-hmm.
Really? Still?
Mm-hmm.
A large amount of questions. Are we on schedule?
I think so. No.
We're not on
I mean, not on the schedule I gave you. We're going to have to change that schedule.
We will.
We'll bring that back next time.
So... Okay.
Yeah.
Is there anything in those questions that we can be a help in?
If we get to one where, right now I can't think of one.
Okay. But I just want to make sure that I offer us if there's a piece that we can help with the process.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a okay, great. Priority. It needs to continue to be.
Yes.
So we... I know that there's so much else, obviously. Look at your guys' agenda for today.
Yes.
It's pretty obvious. There's a lot, but...
let's get to moving on.
I won't hold back if we come past May, towards the end of my second term.
Understood.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
Loud and clear.
Okay. So let's move on to item number two, Board of County Commissioners role in filling state Senate vacancy.
Okay, I spoke with Secretary of State's office who expounded on the process. So as of yesterday, it was anticipated that the nomination, the Republican PCPs would meet for their nominating convention on March 24th. They would then produce 3 to 5 names from the nominating convention, and the Board of County Commissioners would then be convened under the Secretary of State's authority. Secretary of State will appoint a chair of the commissioners from each county, which contain a portion of this district. And the votes of the commissioners, like the votes of the PCPs, will each be weighted proportionate to the population in the county. I have a letter that went to the, went to each of the members of the Board of County Commissioners, both for our county and the others. And that does break down the weight. And I can make sure you get a copy of that if it hasn't found you yet. But it was ostensibly sent by the Secretary of State to each member of the board here. But anyway,
we have the meeting for the board, for the commissioners. If the PCPs are meeting on the 24th, are we anticipating, when does the timeline of appointment need to be made so that we have an idea that our meeting is going to take place sometime between...
We want to get it on our calendar so we don't book it out with something else.
Yes. Tentatively, she mentioned the first week of April.
Okay. When we're in Tacoma?
Well, so we're going to have to figure it out, and I'll be on that as long as we can coordinate with schedules.
I think that would be great if we could get to the Secretary of State's office early for a conflict of this entire board. We're not a huge percentage, but I think we need to be at the table. We're 7%. Correct?
Well, yeah.
Each of us are 2.33%.
Yes, that's accurate.
So
yes.
And I would assume that we're probably going to try to be on the same page to not dilute our position, but I don't know. We haven't discussed it, so who knows where we would be.
Elections Division clarified that phoning in to the commissioner's meeting is acceptable.
Oh, fantastic. We can always break out of the meeting and do that.
Yes.
Good deal.
But they haven't set the date on that commissioner's meeting yet, have they?
As of yesterday, no, they have not.
No.
They haven't.
Thank you for doing that.
Certainly.
Okay, thank you.
Make sure we're all on the same
page. Now, we have on that any other questions? Discussion?
I have a list of PCPs who are involved in this from a Josephine County's perspective. It's about 15, 20 that have the potential to weigh in on that slate. So if that's something of interest, I can share that list. I'm not sure where I got it, but Happy to do that.
Actually, the list is public information on the clerk's office. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, moving on to item number 3, purported board order to establish Natural Resource Advisory Committee.
Yep, so this was brought first a couple weeks ago, and that was an opportunity to present the rough draft. I basically filled in a few blanks and invited the board to go ahead and fill them back in the way you want to see them done. So, and we can bring it back another day. I'm sure we'll. But anyway, another chance to take a look at it.
Okay.
The only thing that I would consider is maybe broadening the number of representatives. Mm-hmm. And then providing, I think we could do it in the bylaws to account for like subcommittees and how we would accomplish that. I just know that the Owyhee County had, you know, a very large portfolio of options because there's such a varied community using the natural resources or federal lands. And so I think from that standpoint that you know, the hunters being represented, it's just as much as the miners, the timber industry, the mountain bikers, horseback riders, all of those people really have a stake in how their federal lands are being utilized. So my read was like maybe more of like 9 core, have an executive committee. And I think the number of the executive committee should be determined by almost those subcommittees of representing different factions of communities. So if that makes any kind of sense.
You have 9 and 1 alternate? You just want to stay with 1 alternate? You want 2 alternates if you got 9?
Well, I think an alternate makes sense, or you wouldn't necessarily need an alternate if you could designate, like, the chair of the subcommittee or something like that could be the alternate for that particular member. So you might have 9 alternates, because you really wouldn't want necessarily, like, the alternate coming from the mining community, say, trying to speak and fill a position the void is the mountain bikers. May not really work really well, but providing that perspective.
Should we put language in that allows that a subcommittee can be created with experts in the field of the topic of the subcommittee that are outside of the membership?
Yeah,
does that authority need to be put in right now or in the bylaws?
If we would appoint all of them, or the committee could recruit their own subcommittees. Something to think about. I just wanted to tease that out there, that we have that broad representation. I kind of like the idea of us just being in charge of recruiting the core committee, the executive committee, and then letting it up to the committee. None of these people, the committee wouldn't have any authority. It acts kind of as a liaison to federal agencies on the board's behalf, and that's the way I see it.
Do we have a list of what areas you want the 9 people to represent?
We have 5 of them listed here.
We have 5 of them here, but if there's other ones,
I'm sure.
Biology and ecosystems and mining and whatnot.
Like recreation. There's other counties that
I would would it be beneficial to have forestry or logging? I mean, we have wood products, but I see wood products industry as being separate than logging and forestry.
So let's explore what those other options might be, and then that's what we bring back. Fill that in, and then it should be ready to go.
All right.
If we're all on the same page with us just being responsible for that core executive committee.
But I just want to make sure they have the authority to do subcommittees.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Good. And then their subcommittee chairman would be the alternate?
Or designee, whatever. Because it might be the person who's on the executive committee being the chair of the subcommittee.
That's how I saw it, is that each of those 9 would then be able to have a subcommittee. And
then a vice chair or something like that.
So I just want legal to have clear direction so you're not coming back.
To me, 9 members, do we need an alternate?
Sure.
I don't think we need an alternate. I think it gets confusing. Just have 9 members and then with the authority to establish subcommittees that would be chaired by one of the 9 members.
And leave it at that.
Yeah.
With the subcommittee chair being the alternate, if that person was gone.
But there will be elements of this that don't want a subcommittee or don't need one.
Well,
I'm guessing.
Sure. Let's just hash this out probably at another general discussion.
All right.
Is there a committee that you used? As the primary reference, and maybe we could take a look at that and how they established it as Baker.
I did consult. I consulted with Baker.
Great. That might be the one we kind of take a look at and see.
Yes, and of course, historically within Josephine County, we had the Josephine County Natural Resources Coordinating Committee established in 2010, and that did have 9 members. And I parsed that list and filling in these blanks here. You could replicate that.
Established in 2010.
Yes, it was. Yeah, 2010-071.
My name's not on it, then. I didn't do it.
Your name is not on it. It was established 19 May 2010.
That previous board did it?
Yes.
That's crazy. It's interesting. It must have been a Casanelli thing, and the other two acquiesced. Bizarre, because Dave Toller's not leading the charge on that, and neither would be Ellis. Interesting.
Correct. Those are the three, yes.
Well, I should stop taking credit for it then. I mean, I approved the plan, but I didn't start the committee. I thought I did.
No,
that's what happens when it's 8 years ago.
There we go.
Nobody else would dispute the story. Maybe I'll just keep it up. I'm just kidding.
We all knew. We just didn't want to tell.
Right? Thanks a lot, Pat. Moving right along. God versus livestock.
Never a historian.
Oh, actually, we have a better conversation before that.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
yes, no, yours, that's
so are we
stellar.
Done with three on the, and you've got your marching orders on three, you're okay with that?
I feel I am. Did you get, clarified that? Notes on that? Do we need anything else at the moment?
I thought you guys were going to bring it back
we
to
are.
General.
Yeah, I think
so,
I'd like to take a look at Baker's
that, yeah.
in the meantime, so I'm a little bit better at repairs.
Can you email us those other two, or Baker's? Who's got
paper?
Oahu?
Oh, I got it. The establishing documents for those other two.
Yeah.
I never got them. I consulted with one of their commissioners in Baker, and he was very encouraging.
But that
and,
was it.
Yeah.
Got distracted.
Yeah.
I can call Bill if you want.
That would be productive. Want to give him a call. He seems very very helpful.
Yeah.
And,
they're nice guys.
Nice guys.
I'd be happy to call him.
So. Yeah.
Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I think
Elfrey,
a lot of
right?
like 150 people.
Yeah.
He's been distracted by losing a lot of weight. He's lost like 40 pounds.
Who?
Bill Elfrey. Mm. Nice guy. He's public lands vice chair.
Okay.
Anyway, that'd be great. Morgan, follow up.
Okay. Cool. Moving on to item number 5, dog versus livestock procedures.
I missed one. I'm sorry. I misspoken. I'm not the chair anyway, but I think.
No, you're doing fine.
Wasn't the forest practices ordinance
first? Forest practice ordinance first.
Oh, excuse
sorry.
Me. Forest practice.
One in your spot.
I'm
one
sorry.
Yeah.
Good to see your smiling face.
I'm impressed how fast.
Item number 4, draft forest practices ordinance. Would you want to come up?
Call you, Streeter.
Sure. This is the first the board has seen this draft, though I worked with Commissioner Hare after the last discussion.
And we've been talking about it for years.
I'm talking about 8 years, probably. And anyway, so this
glad
is
to see
the.
We're narrowing it down.
That should have been at the end of my term 3 years ago.
Anyway, presenting it to the board, collecting any feedback if any is offered at this point, and otherwise planning to discuss and bring it back in the future with refinement and official launching.
There were some really good points in the discussion that just between you guys and Streeter that he made some, and those have been incorporated into the
as far as I can tell,
the new draft, and that's great.
Dave would be the arbiter of that, but I endeavored to put every word that he recommended into that.
Yeah, it was just kind of some slight changes in verbiage was all.
So you've seen this newest draft?
I don't think I saw the newest one after my comments.
Okay.
Well,
make sure you get that.
I forwarded it.
Do you want me to print it so you can have a copy?
I've only done one draft because I guess I misspoke. Dave did send me some comments, and then I was waiting on Commissioner Hare, and then I... Not
yeah,
here today, so I'm sorry.
So are Dave's comments in this draft?
No, but he reviewed it, and I don't think he had any.
So I don't need to print it?
Yeah, no, it's the same.
Okay.
It's here. There's another draft out there that may not be here.
Let's see.
And it could be in our office. It just didn't make it into the draft.
Okay.
I'm not saying where
okay.
it is. That's fine. They're not terribly substantial, but they're right on point. And actually, ironically, we kind of got to the same points. You know, his point was my point, so it's really good. Have you guys taken a look at it? What we would like from you guys is you're non-forestry experts, and don't take offense to that, but you're supposed to be looking at this from, you know, an outsider's perspective about, does this sound right? Is this...
Person on the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we get the most current draft, and I'd be happy to go over and submit comments?
Yeah,
I'm here draft.
This is a public deal.
And he's
so
made changes, but you made
Thursday.
Changes, and
we can do that. Perfectly fine.
But I didn't know if this was
it's short.
That is.
So
I don't think that
Simon
was
did a draft
changes.
Initially, and then.
That's it.
We'll sort it out.
We will.
Okay.
It's totally fine.
It's coming back soon.
totally fine.
I would love to just see the current draft so that we know that we're commenting on the amended changes.
Latest and greatest.
After I collect Simon's feedback, but I didn't get it on that draft.
Well, I want to see the current draft because I'm very interested in what Mr. Streeter has to say about it because he's the guy. That's what I mean. That's what I'm doing. Current draft, we'll get it.
It's okay to review that draft. That's the draft. That's the current draft.
This one is?
Presented today for review.
This item number 4 of timber sales, I thought he had mentioned timber harvests as one of his elements listed here. That's the only reason that I thought it may not be the final draft, is under section 4.04 is practices. Timber sales is how it's worded.
No, timber harvest shall be managed on a sustainable. So what you're saying instead of timber sales?
Yeah.
I think harvest is a better
word
there,
too. That's just the one reference from the and I wrote the same thing. And so I didn't know that this is the final draft, because that one didn't make it, so maybe the others did, I don't know.
Okay. Well, and the concern I would have with that one is harvest is the sustainable yield. The sales have nothing to do with if there's a market there. The sustainable yield is the harvest, so.
Just, yeah.
Okay, so making sure we do have better wording.
We'll make sure that it's the final draft.
That'll work?
No problem. Let's revisit this on Thursday, because I'd like to see if it can find its way into a calendar. As it's an ordinance, it's got to... It
can take a while.
And it's got to be in the right time.
Yeah. Can I make just a real quick comment? Is I view this as kind of my guiding light as a land manager. Right now, the forestry program has no guiding light to it.
Well, thanks a lot.
When you work for a private entity, they go forth and manage these lands for these resource values. We don't have anything at the county, so that's kind of what Simon and I have been talking about for a little while is, you know, we need some guiding lights that help us, because forest management's a long-term process and not a short-term, so...
it shows everybody else looking in.
Do we have goals and everything else? And right now, it can change with the board, you know, it can change from year to year to year to year, and forestry's not a short-term proposition. It's a long-term.
Part of the reference for this is Streeter's predecessor, at no fault of his own, without clear direction from the board, managed on a sustained yield basis, but generated $250,000, $260,000 as a 10-year rolling average of a revenue stream. I believe the same direction, but with a more emphasis put on, best practices, and the fiscal return being as most profitable as possible. His costs are lower, and his revenues are what I think they should be, approaching the 750 range per average, and probably a million on a 5-year average. And I think that's probably a better reflection of where our program should be. If it were held in the private hands, that's what it would be generating, at least. So I think that it's spelled out pretty clearly here. There's only one track that we've kind of agreed on is more of our multiple use track, and that's that Stringer Gap where we do our youth tree plants. It's not ideal property for generating timber production. It's granicular soils and located in a more of an urban setting, and it's got kind of like a road trail system already that people utilize. So it works, I think, really, really well to say, okay, we're going to set aside that 500 acres, which is better than 10% of our portfolio, for multiple use recreational opportunities, but that's not the objective of our other 20 to 30,000 acres, but we're at least accounting for it. So I think it works out really, really well. Appreciate Dave's thought and thoughtful contributions on all this. This is great.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Now we're on to number 5, dog versus livestock procedure.
Yes.
So, just something to keep in mind, we're literally about 30 minutes into developing this. We've had a lot more conversations on it, but the actual content. This is meant to be just a pulse check to make sure we're heading in the right direction. So, what you see right now is the start of it. This is dog versus livestock. There's also a dog versus pet and dog versus human component that's going to require some additional thought. As of right now, how we manage dog versus livestock incidents isn't actually clearly defined. We don't have a clear process. So the intent is, if a dog comes in a dog versus livestock case, and there's either a hearing requested, there's been livestock killed, and there's statutory definition for livestock, or there has been multiple incidents, This would go to a hearings officer. Now, if those things haven't happened, no hearing requested in particular, we want the ACO to make an assessment as to whether or not the pet is securable. Do you have a Doberman pincher and a 3-foot fence? We want the animal shelter to assess whether or not there's a potential for neglect. Is the animal coming in emaciated? Or there's a standardized test for the evaluating the temperament of the animal. If all of these things come back positive, what I would like, and legal's in concurrence on this, I would like it to go directly to the shelter supervisor and the ACO to issue a citation, have the owner of the animal sign a pledge stating, I will secure my animal, this won't happen again, and if it does, I relinquish ownership. And then there's a standard statutorily required fine of $250 to $1,000 plus fees associated with taking the animal in, running the tests, putting in a microchip and such.
What about damage to whatever they've been? Is that in with fees?
That's a separate process. If the owner of, say, a goat that has not been killed, that has just been injured, wants to request reimbursement, that request goes directly to the county. The county has to turn around and get the money from the owner of the dog. And that's an additional, that's a separate process from this. This is meant to be the intake and release process.
I think having those parallel processes for this specific situation would be key to understanding the context, because we don't have in this diagram where a situation happens and a dog is collected and the owner forfeits the dog. I don't see that here. That doesn't go to a hearings officer. That's
completely independent of all this. If the owner, and I will bring this in.
Delineatedly, if you only just started this, that might be, looking at the different scenarios, we've had those where a person's like, I don't want to.
So those are actually,
don't want to worry about it.
That's quite easy, because that goes to the shelter supervisor and myself. It becomes the owner, a pet owned by the county.
I just think that there's also the element of, like, when a person chooses door two or whatever, they need to know the potential fine for this, potential fiscal outcome of this. When they first start it, you're not going to get a hearing for 15 days. It's $50 a day plus the potential, there's $250 plus, whatever kind of reimbursement.
Whatever
for the animal damages for the now, there's been situations where I don't think the person understood that had they been able to know that it was going to be 2 or 3 weeks before the board was going to convene or assign it to a hearings officer, it's $3,000 at the end of this process, and it may be found guilty and put down. Well, they make a different determination given all that information on day one.
Mm-hmm.
So having all of that in kind of one
shop
schematic, whatever,
a much cleaner one.
Yeah, no, this is clean. Just holistic.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. And we've also put in some stops where staff were arbitrarily waiving fees and put a stop to that. The fees have gone through a process. They've been approved by the board. Mike's awareness when it came up put a stop to that, made sure policy and procedure are followed. And there's a procedure referring to legal if there's any variance involved and stuff like that. So kind of just trying to make sure that all this stuff is documented and
yeah, it has to be looked at as fair, just because somebody maybe knows somebody or something like that, that gets dicey.
I'm not comfortable with that. Yeah.
This is a great start, though. We've been needing something.
Go ahead.
I'm wondering, is there something upstream from hearing requested so that you bring the dog in and the people, I don't want a hearing, I don't want anything. And I think that maybe...
You mean if they relinquish ownership of the dog?
Yeah, they just say, I'm not interested anymore. I'm not going to request a hearing. I don't have anything to do with that thing ever again.
So when that happens...
This is only when a hearing is requested, hey, that I want my dog to be...
Oh, no, that's only going down to that bottom right-hand box.
Okay.
Right. If they don't request a hearing, then it just keeps falling to the right.
Then it goes to the right, okay. All right.
Now, the thing on here that may be a little off-normal... is those three columns or those three other questions. Is the pet securable? Is it healthy? And does it have a positive temperament? If the answer to any of those is no, according to this flowchart, it comes to me for a decision. And I can add additional requirements. I can refer it to hearing. I can go, this is animal severely emaciated. This needs to go to hearing or this needs to be referred to DA. But I have the authority, according to this flowchart, to say, yes, you have to sign that pledge, you have to do everything you normally do, but your pet isn't securable, therefore you need to install a 6-foot fence. Or whatever recommendations legal says I have the authority to impose. And if they say, I don't agree to those terms, then it would go to hearings officer.
On the last three, can at any time, can, if any one of these come back
as a no,
can you request a hearings officer at any time during this whole process?
Yep. Well, those three things go to me for a decision, and I have the authority to request a hearing. This keeps it out of, because we currently have 5 of these sitting in the shelter that need resolution.
Good.
Wow. And most of these are just that straight right across the top. It's a straightforward one-time incident. Pet got out because, you know, AC repairman left the gate open and it bit a chicken. Things like that happen quite often, and I'd like an easy resolution to those. When it gets a bit more complicated, well, it is actually pretty easy because...
Oh, you don't have to tell me twice. It's very easy.
Because in those instances, we should be releasing the pet back. With assurance,
whatever.
That's not the same easy response he's saying. But the key was is that what I've asked for is that with each of these, we delineate with the ORS what the law says or the procedure with them,
yes.
So that it's a very clear path of, in this case, here's our outcome. In this case, this is our response. And so
that's cool. It's good.
Yeah, I think Claire's. We've been down that road, and didn't have a real clear. We didn't have this. And I think this would have helped out an awful lot in that.
So, just to kind of summarize, there's 3 outcomes to this process. In the very straightforward, we've marked yes or we've marked approved for all boxes, the shelter and the ACO is making the decision to go forward with what they're pre-approved to do. The next level is it comes to me to make a decision, and I have authority to move forward and request additional levels on the pledge that the owner has to sign. In the final levels, it goes to a formal hearings.
And then the hearings officers would be the one that determines what the future of the dog is, or animal.
Yes. In this process, I am not making a call to put an animal down. I may decide that animal should be put down, but if I'm making that call, it's going to a hearing first, because there needs to be an evaluation of evidence.
That's if they request a hearing.
No, I'm saying if I make the determination that a hearing is warranted because I think the animal should be put down, then I can refer to a hearing.
Okay, that's outside of statute, but...
Okay.
Right? We'll continue to
review. Well, and we just need to make sure that statutorily these are outlined. And, you know, for instance, there's one for livestock first incident with dog. There's livestock second incident with dog. Killed or injured, they each have a different path that ORS defines differently. And quite frankly, it's one of the things I'm going to be bringing to our AOC to see if we can get a legislative fix on owners with multiple incidences, different dogs. So it's this dog's first incident, but they've had 5 dogs with an incident. They clearly are the owners are the problem.
Start putting the owner down. I'm not kidding. These people are totally irresponsible.
So that may be different action if the owners are the problematic piece is a legislative fix we're looking at.
Yep. All the way, but as of now, we don't have that. Now, what we are building is a process to start tracking that.
Okay.
Because right now, we don't have the raw data to keep tabs on things like that. So if a statute does come down the pike later, we'll be able to follow up on it.
What I'm seeing here, no matter how many paths you have, it's going to go to, it'll be the hearings officer that would recommend putting a dog down or whatever they recommend. And that comes back to the board. So the board's not caught in the middle of it before we go to a hearings officer.
That was a unique scenario that wouldn't.
It was. That's the only one I have for history. So
you don't want that again?
We're good. Thank you.
You're absolutely right. Thank you.
So I appreciate you coming with this. I know I didn't give you much leadway that I can't talk.
Leadway.
And the main thing we were looking at is we want to make sure that staff isn't creating policy that hasn't, one, that it's followed by legal process, it's vetted through legal, voted through the board, and so that we are doing things in the right path. So thank you.
Okay. So just a pulse check, this looks like it's heading in the right direction?
It's a good start.
We'll refine.
He's got 5 dogs he needs to make decisions on here.
So we have precedent. We would like to have the owner sign a pledge because they're all right along that top column.
Yeah, I was going to say, where do they fall in the matrix here? I mean, do you have something that's really questionable?
Only one of the five dogs doesn't follow just that straight right along that top column, and that is one pet is the owner's living in a car because he's homeless. And the ACO is confident they'll be able to secure the dog. There's no statute saying he can't house the dog in that way. So my recommendation would be all of them follow that top right-hand box of request the $250, fine. Fees for care for the animal and treatment and assessment, they sign a pledge.
Is there already a citation place and process that ACOs are authorized to do? Are ACOs currently authorized to write citations?
Yes.
So that's not a new process.
No, it's the pledge and release the owner back to him.
The pledge is something that is...
standard?
It's been used in the past.
Yes. Yeah, we've used the pledge.
Okay, and the fine is already approved through ordinance, or does that need to be updated in the fee schedule?
The fine is a range, $250 to $1,000. We are going to go...
statutorily?
Yes. Yeah, generally. Yes.
And then the fees separately... are already established, so there's
they're
no new fee,
ordinance.
There's no new process.
That's right.
Okay.
Now I understand what you're asking, and that's correct.
Okay, so we're not changing a policy, we're endorsing that we're doodling. Why my tongue and brain are not connecting this morning, I don't know. So we're authorizing a process that has already previously been established in the county.
It's been employed.
Employed, but not authorized.
It's statutorily authorized.
Okay.
You're within what the law allows.
And that's what we need to get to.
Let's just move it forward.
Yep.
Okay. So I'll move forward with those five animals. We'll refine this, get it structured, and something
more
formal to you to
more
sign.
Detail, more different scenarios, and then go from there.
Yep.
They haven't been waiting for this review to do anything with those processes, right?
We've been trying to figure out what some of those processes were, because there hasn't been consistency.
It's defined by statute, right?
They are.
Yeah.
For example, the notarized...
No, I don't want to go through it.
Yeah, okay.
I just want to be over it. I don't want to talk about it
anymore. All is well.
Okay.
Things are...
But let's just move forward.
Yeah.
As quickly as possible.
Don't disappear yet. I was just going to ask as we go into executive session, could we maybe go out of order and bring the RFP to the first, and then we can let Mr. Wilbur go?
You're just handing it to us. I don't know that I need...
I don't even know that it needs executive session.
I don't either. I think
it does, because it's an RFP.
Yeah, no,
okay.
It's fine. It's
well,
still in draft form.
We're just saying it's available to you in your network.
And we would ask that you go over the first, all that you want to, but the first 43 pages specifically before the appendices. And next week we will be discussing further.
Next
so
week we'll
we're
done.
Officially
done.
Giving it to you to review.
You have presented. So okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Could you let Leah know?
Yes.
Okay. So we're all, looks like, legal counsel update. Today is Tuesday, March 13, 2018 at 2:33 p.m. in the Josephine County Board of Commissioners. Will now meet in executive session to review the agenda items 6A through 6I. And 6A is confidential memo regarding county property tax foreclosure, case number 15CV22540-ORS192.6602F and H. Item 6B is Indian Mary Park Water System, ORS 192.6602 and H. C is lease of county-owned property located at 1222 Redwood Avenue, Hardwoods Plus Rental Update, ORS 192.6602E. D is lease of county-owned property located at 400 Sunny Valley Road, ORS 192.6602E. E is confidential memo regarding county real property counter sales policies, ORS 192.6602E and F. F is Randy S. Cossens et al. Versus Josephine County, LUBA case number 2017-122, federal declaratory judgment, ORS 192.6602H. G is Mercy Flights Incorporated versus Josephine County et al. Case number 1:17-CV-01760-CL-ORS 192.6602H. And finally, H is confidential memo regarding potential U.S. Forest Service U.S. Forest Service lawsuit, ORS 192.6602F and H. And item I has already been pulled from the...
No.
I need to read it?
Yep.
Draft RFP for Public Health Services, ORS 192.6602F. We will now go into no decision shall be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, the board will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. Recorder will now be turned off at 2:35. With that, we are back in session at 2:52 p.m. 3:52 p.m. Thank you very much, Counselor. And let's move on to Council Update Continued. Item number 7, Matters for Commissioners.
Just before we move on from executive session, I know we didn't make any decisions. However, we did make some recommendations for item A, the foreclosure, that we're going to continue to try to reach out to the property owner, make just another form of communication to see if we can resolve that shy of going that process. We were apprised of the Indian Mary water system, and there's no action to be taken on that right now. On the lease situation, we did recommend staff move forward with the next process, or as far as kind of continue on the plan where we're at. I think I'm confusing A and D. We have so many items on here.
Yes.
So A...
That had to do with the irrigation district.
Oh, yeah, so that was just advice. So we got our notification, so no action there. So D is the one where we asked staff to make new, if one of the commissioners offered to reach out and try to see if we can resolve without going further. Let's see.
E.
We discussed options regarding countersale policies. I believe our recommendation, or at least...
If the property was to go to auction, it's the state auction and not accept a
over-the-counter. Yeah, we're not as interested in going over counter sales necessarily as a last resort.
Or keeping with the current.
Keep with the current policy.
Sure,
there
correct.
We go.
That's
the. We got an update on LUVA. We're just kind of waiting to see what's the next steps.
Bringing it back on Tuesday next week.
We gave direction on legal status on Mercy Flight as far as. We're going to reach out to AMR and kind of go for determine what's the next steps.
Yes, and that board has no position regarding the judge who's handling the case.
Correct. No. Yeah, we've revisited that. We just want to move forward and get things done.
Mm-hmm.
As far as we also discussed options and asked legal, please move forward on next steps for the Forest Service process as far as our options.
Yes.
And then with the RFP for Public Health Services is simply that we've presented it to the board and are asking board members to review and bring back next week any recommendations, and we'll review that next week. So I believe that is the gist of it.
That's it.
Okay.
Matters from item 7, matters from commissioners.
So it was brought to my attention that there is a county employee that has a substantial medical diagnosis, and the... costs are going to be well beyond coverage, FMLA, all that other kind of stuff. Other employees want to try to do fundraising to try to offset some of those costs. And they basically looking for parameters that doesn't put us in violation of state ethics laws. But you have somebody that's essentially going to lose their career over this and potentially their life. And so it's one of those things that I just want to make sure that I'm not giving bad information.
Yes.
I know there's precedents. The city lost a dispatcher to cancer, and there was plenty of fundraisers on city property that they did bake sales and silent auctions and such. But as far as how that went, I don't know. And unfortunately, she lost her battle with the cancer and was in her early 30s. And this is another person that's not very old that is going to be facing that. But
do you also want the element that if you participate in fundraising? I mean, that's where I would think you might, you know, if you or an elected official participates in fundraising?
Well, it's not necessarily me. It was more that staff was looking at doing something they similarly, I mean, it's they were familiar with what City did and were wanting to do that. City allowed them to use conference rooms and such to just set up a silent auction. It was them on a day off kind of running it, but they were able to use the city's property. Any donations, could it be routed through a nonprofit, or, you know, what's the tax implication or the ethics violation of a $50 minimum from any one source? The main idea is this person's diagnosis is or prognosis is not likely to survive, and the costs are going to be extreme. And so they were just trying to take care of an employee they felt is essentially as a family member. So I just wanted to kind of get feedback on what we're allowed to allow.
Do you have anything initially on that point, or should we go ahead and...
We'd probably have to look.
Yep, okay. We will. We will look and get back to you.
I also, one of the things that I'm going to ask that a contract be sent to legal on the NACO Live Healthy program. It is a free-to-the-county program. We're the only county in Southwest Oregon not participating. It essentially, because we are members of NACO, it is a prescription discount program offered to citizens in Josephine County free of charge. It essentially will save them up to 50% off of prescription costs. The individual can then also subscribe to a dental and vision plan through, I believe, NACO contracts with CVS pharmacies. But again, there's no cost to the counties. Many Oregon counties are taking part. And it's simply because we are members of NACO, that's a program that is offered to our citizens, and they will make up cards for us that we can pass out to anybody. It's up to the citizens if they want to take part or not. But again, no cost to the county. There would be a contract involved, so I'm asking that that contract be sent to you guys so that can be brought to us to discuss.
Okay, I'm keeping an eye out for it.
Somewhere I remember this coming through once before, and
not during my tenure.
No, it's been a while.
I spent some time at the conference last week trying to learn about the program, talking to other commissioners. I spoke with Henry, I could never get his last name, Heimuller from Columbia County. Mm-hmm. All three of their commissioners hold stacks of them in their personal cars, and they literally pass them out to, I mean, they give them, they'll ship them directly to doctor's office and various things. So the idea is it's just a prescription discount program to citizens. And the county doesn't receive anything financially, and it doesn't cost the county anything financially.
It sounds like just a good idea to do for our citizens, something we can offer because we're a member of NACO?
Correct. It's a service we get included in our NACO membership.
I'll see if we have a file. I just remember it.
Well, they just redid all their forms, and so I'll ask that they send new, updated information.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I figure it's got to start with the contract with you guys in the first place, so
yes.
We're not signing up for anything without it going through. I mean, even if I signed up, it would still require a contract to go to you guys for us to sign.
Yes.
So I just wanted to give you a heads up that I wanted to initiate that conversation.
Okay, very good.
Okay. Anything else, Commissioner?
Not for legal at this time.
Okay. It is 4:00 and we're adjourned.
Awesome.